from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, February 6th. Coming up, the National Park Service has designated the site of the first town founded by an African American as a national park. We'll have a conversation with the founder's great-great-grandson, who's also a U of I professor, in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. With Medicaid pandemic protections ending March 31st, the Illinois Department of Health Care and Family Services predicts more than 300,000 residents could lose health insurance. Sergio Obregon is a special assistant to the HFS director. He says the department is working to minimize the number of people who will lose coverage if they're found to be ineligible.
We have information on forms if somebody were to lose coverage that would give them information on how they can seek other health insurance opportunities, either through an employer or the Affordable Care Act.
Congress implemented continuous coverage during the COVID-19 pandemic that allowed people to remain on Medicaid even if they may be ineligible. Obregon says people on Medicaid should up their addresses to ensure they get their renewal form as soon as possible so they can begin pursuing next steps. Last year, a letter co-authored by a University of Illinois law professor was cited on the U.S. Senate floor during debate on the Respect for Marriage Act. In the letter, Professor Robin Fretwell Wilson urged bipartisan support for the act. 39 Republicans in the House and 12 in the Senate joined Democrats in voting for the Respect for Marriage Act. Wilson says its passage was a groundbreaking step for LGBT legislation, and its bipartisan support opens doors for Congress to compromise on future issues.
And I think it's personally inspiring. They can do it for this, they can do it for other issues, and they should.
Wilson says the Respect for Marriage Act ensures that federal law recognizes the validity of same-sex marriages. The measure also protects interracial marriages. President Biden signed the Respect for Marriage Act into law in December. Central Illinois Congressman Darren LaHood says he's willing to explore what he calls reasonable police reforms. The Peoria Republican says Congress needs to find ways to deter police from abusing their authority, but he says removing legal immunity for officers is not the answer.
Is there a few bad apples? Of course. We saw that last weekend. But I'm not convinced that getting rid of qualified immunity is the right approach.
Qualified immunity was a major issue that divided Congress when it tried to pass police reform following the murder of George Floyd. LaHood says he supports expanded background checks for police. The Illinois women's basketball team won its 18th game of the season yesterday, topping Minnesota 69-62. The Illini used a 9-0 run to put the game away after the Gophers had tied it at 60 late in the fourth quarter. Illinois head coach Shauna Green says her team needs more consistency in two areas.
In order to continue to win in this league, you got to defend and we have to rebound. Our offense may, you know, come and go, but if we can have those two things be consistent, it's shown that it's won us games. You know, it's won us 18 games this year.
Makaira Cook led the Illini with 21 points and Adalia McKenzie added 20. Illinois is 18-6 overall and 8-5 in the Big Ten. They'll visit Nebraska on Thursday. Still to come, a conversation with U of I professor Gerald McWhorter. His great-great-grandfather was the first African-American to start a town in the U.S., and he did it in Illinois. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
It's 1939, and the series All Creatures Great and Small returns to Yorkshire Dales for a third season of romance, bucolic scenes, and animal ailments. This season, the pressure is on James to grow his veterinary practice with his marriage to Helen approaching. Unfortunately, his plan to make money by participating in a government trial puts him at odds with the local farmers. Stream all three seasons of this hit show as a friend of WILL with PBS Passport. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The National Park Service has given National Park designation to the site of the first town legally founded by an African American. New Philadelphia in western Illinois marked a stop on the Underground Railroad in the mid-19th century and remained an incorporated town until 1885, with some residents staying on into the 1920s. Illinois Newsroom's Farrah Anderson spoke to the great-great-grandson of the town's founder.
Gerald McWhorter, a professor in African American Studies at the University of Illinois, grew up hearing stories about his great-great-grandfather, Frank McWhorter. Free Frank was born into slavery and later bought his own freedom, In 1836, he became the first free African-American to found and register his own town, named New Philadelphia. As Gerald grew up, he says he began to understand the significance of his ancestors' story, not just for his own family, but for the entire country.
I mean, we grew up with the story that freedom seekers, if you could get to New Philadelphia, you could get a pair of shoes, you could get a horse, and those McWhorter boys would help you get to Canada.
Gerald and his wife, Kate Williams, also a professor at the U of I, wrote a book in 2018 about New Philadelphia. But the story starts over 30 years earlier.
You have to start in 1988 with the recognition of Frank's grave. Then you have to think about the New Philadelphia Association was founded 26 years ago. So it's been a long process of gradually building up recognition until finally becoming a national park. It's important to mention that there are 424 national parks in the United States. Only 33 directly connect to the African-American experience. And of all the national parks in the country, only 3 are in Illinois.
Gerald says New Philadelphia proves how integral Black people were in helping members of their own community get to freedom.
Think of yourself as a freedom seeker. Now, here you are moving through the countryside and you don't know people. You don't know who is who. And you come to a town, who would you be looking for? If it was me, I'd be looking for other Black people. So when you think about the map, the Underground Railroad is connecting wherever Black people were living. And so I think the more we dig into the history, using New Philadelphia as an example, we'll find the value of so many other places and so many other families, so that the story of freedom is not only a story of people who are helping Black people, it's Black people themselves active and engaged in the freedom journey.
Gerald says New Philadelphia's significance is best understood by a poem, which helped inspire him and others to keep working on the project over the past 3 decades.
They ran, they helped others run. They bought, they fought a town, a law, and they lived free.
The history of New Philadelphia paints a portrait of what the future of the United States could look like. People from all walks of life working together to create a better nation.
If New Philadelphia was possible, then maybe this country is possible. It was an integrated community. Frank owned the town. He was selling lots to get money to free his family from slavery. So everybody living there knew what the deal was. So this was an abolitionist village. And this is 2 decades or more before the Civil War. So if that experience was possible, then maybe the whole country is possible.
That was Farrah Anderson, a reporter with Illinois Newsroom and a journalism student at the University of Illinois, speaking with Gerald McWhorter about New Philadelphia, Illinois' newest National Historic Site. The New Philadelphia National Historic Site is located 2 miles east of Barry in western Illinois. It was given national park status in December and is one of only 33 National Historic Sites dedicated to African American history in the U.S. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it'll be mostly cloudy and warm today with a high of 49 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Cameron Cutinello, Piper Pascarella, Eric Stock, and Farrah Anderson. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.